Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture this morning comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our passage today is very important, to say the very least, but it's also very complicated. It can be very dangerous, depending on how you interpret it. The importance of it's pretty easy to see. This is the Luke version of the Golden Rule, and just in case you think the Golden Rule is unique to us as Christians, it's really not. It's a very common idea, and it's kind of unsurprising how common it is. Treating others as you would like to be treated just seems like fairness. It seems like kind of how we should just generally act towards one another in our day-to-day lives. It shows up in other religions, and it shows up even in Greek philosophers as well. So I think there's a reason why it's so widespread. But let's get quickly to that dangerous thing I'm talking about. It can feel like the first chunk of this passage is asking for our complete vulnerability as Christians, or even just asking us to completely roll over and allow people to do what they will to us. And while I think there are places for that, I don't think that that's necessarily what the start of this passage is telling us to do. And I did not just say that because I want to say that. I do have a tiny bit of evidence. My first evidence is the fact that the disciples do not capitulate to everything they are asked to do in Acts. In Acts, the disciples do not listen when they are asked to leave the temple or to stop teaching about God. But I think an even more striking example of how this isn't necessarily just a call for us to allow ourselves to be hurt by others is the fact of the death of Ananias and Sapphira. If you don't know that story off the top of your head, that's the story in Acts of two people who sold their land and then claimed they gave all of the money for that sale to the church. The reason why I think this passage is so honestly violent, where they are struck dead for their lie, is because at the time, the church was a kind of commune. I mean, that's what it was. Everybody held their property in common. And as soon as somebody is lying about how much resources they have in that kind of a situation, you create a power dynamic that could quickly cause everything to fall out of control. So there we see how even when these people are trying to take advantage of them, the Spirit is not happy to allow that to occur. The important reason to talk about these things as we talk about this passage is because this passage can be used to condone people living through abuse and allowing themselves to continue to be abused. It's a real thing that real people have said and has led to real life consequences, especially turning the other cheek. What I think is actually important in this passage is not the capitulation, the giving in of demands, but rather the way that we respond when things happen to us. The character who is going through these various things does not lash out at the people against him. When someone takes his coat, he doesn't reach out and snatch the other person's coat back. When someone asks for money, he doesn't immediately say, "Well, I need this back." Instead, it is a peaceful response that enjoins a person to really create a relationship with them. Back in the day of this time, giving gifts was very common, and often you would expect gifts in return or something in return, but not always a material item. You would get sometimes a relationship in return. Somebody would become closer connected with you, become somebody who's now a person that is a part of your life. And in giving these gifts, I think we see creation of relationships and a lack of anger and revenge in the reaction to all of the things happening to this person. But that gets us to the complexity, because we are still, or the difficulty of this passage, because we're still given a monumental task, even when we aren't asked to simply allow all of these things to happen to us. We are still asked to have the monumental task of loving our enemies, which I think can be tricky, because hearing "love your enemies," it sounds almost easy. It's like, well, yeah, I love my enemies. I don't go out and punch somebody on the street because we don't get along. I let them live their life and I live mine. But I think loving our enemies is trying to ask us to go just a little bit further than accepting that our enemies exist, and we can be okay with that. The 32nd message of this is that we gotta love everyone, regardless of their situation. It doesn't mean condoning them, but we still have to love them and hope for them to be better. So that means as we love our enemies, we can't think, well, they're getting what they deserve. And I think especially right now online, we see a lot of that from both ends of our political spectrum. As people are arrested for things like being in our country, some people are thinking, well, they're getting what they deserve. And at the same time, as prices rise and people lose their jobs, I see people on the other side saying, well, they're getting what they deserve. And I think as Christians, we don't really get to think that way. The people in these situations on both sides are being hurt. They're being harmed by these actions. And as Christians, even if we don't agree with them, we are required to think of them with compassion. And that means we don't get to take that little bit of pleasure or schadenfreude as people suffer. We're required to try and understand them. This doesn't mean agree. Understanding can come without agreement, but we are required to try and understand. We are required to allow ourselves to emotionally connect to the people and to get an understanding of why they feel that way. And even as we may continue to disagree, we can be there and commiserate with them as they go through something hard. We can hope to try and support them through difficult times. And I think this works really well with the golden rule. The golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, that's pretty easy to see how we don't necessarily have to give in to people hurting another person in that situation. If I was hurting a person, I would hope that that person would tell me so I could stop doing it. The same deal goes for us interacting with others. If they are hurting us or hurting other people, I think it's fine to say, I think you're hurting someone else. As long as we are all trying to get better together, I think it works out for the best. The same goes for forgiveness. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It is allowing the person space to do better, but it's not necessarily giving them the same situation to repeat the same thing that led to harm in the past. Again, it's a way that this passage has been used to hurt people many times in our culture. We think it's very easy to black and white this and say, forgiveness means they got to be allowed to do all the things they were allowed to do before they committed something that hurt someone. But that's not the case. We allow them to do better, and we hope for them to do better, but we can still be a little bit wary. It's not loving to put somebody in a situation where they've made a mistake before. Humans are going to be creatures of habit. We do the same things again in the same situation. So it's best for us to try and to give them the space to do better, but to also not place them in these dangerous situations for both themselves and potentially people around them. This passage is pulling us in all sorts of directions. It's both asking for us to be radically compassionate, but we know as people that live in the real world that there's a balance to be struck so that we can protect people that are victims as well. It's asking for us to love our enemies, but having enemies means that we do oppose them, and that means that we have to try and understand them, but we don't have to let them have exactly what they want. It's calling for us to do good to the people around us, but we know that if we do good to the people that are harming us, there's less good that we are able to do to other people. It's not as easy as it seems on the surface. There's no easy answer for this passage. There's no easy, well, here's exactly how you act in every single situation. The passage is contextual, and our reactions to the things happening to us also have to be contextual. I think it's important as we react to the way the world goes and to how, what things are happening around us, that we return to passages like this, filter it through that, and see how we think this part of the Bible is calling us to act. See how we think Jesus is calling us to act and follow Jesus' example. It's incredibly difficult. But I think the good hope is that we know that it's possible. Because God did all of this for us first. Jesus did not lash out as Jesus went through all of the things that Jesus did heading towards the cross. Jesus, in fact, healed someone's ear as it was lopped off as he was arrested. Jesus knew that the people hurting him did not know what they did. He said it himself. He asked for their forgiveness. I wish we got to see a scene of Jesus talking to the people that nailed him to a cross. The disciples, it's pretty easy to see how Jesus would still get along with them, but I'd be interested to see that conversation of Jesus there. We know forgiveness is available. The good thing is that God is bigger than us, so the harm that we do to God doesn't really happen. We can't harm God, so God is able to forgive far more radically than even we can, but we're still called to give some of that forgiveness. In Jesus, we are called to follow God's example, to love others as we have loved ourselves. We are called to not judge, we are called to not condemn, and we are called to forgive. We're called to love our enemies and to do good to those who hate us. God has given us an example in Jesus, and with God's help, we'll be able to follow it. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.